We are continuing with our Thursday night series on being a disciple, and you already understand what that is, that a disciple is someone who's not just saved, but someone who is seeking with their life to serve the Lord and to be close to Him on a greater level. Most Christians, if the fact of the matter is really given, are not disciples. You think about the 10 lepers that got saved, or not saved, they got saved from their leprosy, they got healed. How many of them went back? One out of 10, that's 10%. And I wonder if that's that many people that are truly disciples in their Christianity for all the people in our country and in this world who claim to be Christians. And so our desire should be that we are not just saved, but that we are disciples. We are truly interested in being close to Christ and being a true follower. A disciple is one who puts into practice and does what Jesus says and is willing to make the sacrifices it takes to be what he wants. And that's a step that we must be willing to take. Being a Christian, becoming saved, trusting Christ, doesn't automatically make you a disciple. You have to decide to be a disciple. I believe everybody in their life, if you're saved, there's a time when you're like, you know what? I don't want to just be a Christian. I want to be close to God. I want God to be working in my life. And that's what it means to be a disciple. We've been looking at several thoughts or truths related to that under the fact that disciples are followers, okay? They don't just say they're a Christ follower. If you're sitting on the patio, make sure we're looking up here and we're you're looking at the screen, you're behaving. If you can't behave, don't sit outside, you young folks. That was free. A follower is someone who doesn't just, you know, have a bumper sticker on their car, they carry a Bible in a nice case, okay? They want to be close to Christ, and they want to move down that path and become closer to Him. We've looked at several. Last time we were here, we looked at the fact that disciples are followers who follow closely and stay true. Tonight, I want to look at another thought in John chapter 6. Number 6, disciples are followers even of hard truth. Okay, John chapter 6, we'll go through this verses and then we'll kind of go through the story as we share some thoughts. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Okay, they bailed out. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. Now we'll explain this in a minute, but suffice to say here that the Bible is a book of truth. Okay, the Bible is true. We believe that. But it has to get past a head knowledge. So if the Bible is true, what it says is true. And sometimes that truth takes many forms. Some of it is helpful. We hear something, it's like, well, by the way, unless someone is just, you know, against Christ, the truth of salvation, when we heard that, that was a good thing. That's easy. Those of us that were saved, we understood we were on our way to hell, and we wanted to be saved, and we understood what Jesus Christ did for us, and that's an easy one. And there's other things in the Bible that are very helpful. Some of it is liberating. It helps us as we are, maybe have a sin in our life that we struggle with. It helps us to understand how. It gives us the power to be able to overcome that sin and its power in our life. Some of it's encouraging. You go through a difficult time and there are Bible verses there, and you hear that verse and it's like, wow, that really helped me. That made me feel good. That made me know that God was on my side. But some of it's hard. A lot of it's hard. Jesus loves me. He died for my sin and I can go to heaven. Then you realize that he does expect you to be a disciple. And disciple has requirements. There's things we gotta work on. We gotta do. We gotta trust. Why? It's hard because of our flesh. Our flesh doesn't like anything that comes between it and what it desires to do. Some of it's because of our pride. We always think we're right. And no one in this room except for me is always right, okay? So what happens? We hear a truth. By the way, and I've mentioned it so many times, you know, as a new Christian sitting in church, I heard things and I'm like, wow, I didn't know that was in the Bible. I didn't know that's something God expected of me. And you're kind of like, okay, that's a little tough. That goes against my grain. But some people react incorrectly to the truth. By the way, and you look at our society and some of the political hot buttons of our day, people aren't responding very correctly to the truth. They reject it. They are negative to it. They think of ways to get around. I just saw a video on maybe Twitter, where one of the Democratic presidential candidates, a 19-year-old man, got up, and the guy was asking questions. And he said to the presidential candidate, it was a guy, I don't know who it was, but he is going to have a really hard time when he faces God. And he said to him, he goes, I was born on September 8th. And he looked at the presidential candidate and said, so are you telling me on September 7th, I was not a person? And the candidate tried to talk his way out of it. He said, you know, I'm glad you're here and you're important, but on September 7th, that's not your decision. That's not my decision. That's not the government's decision. That's a woman's decision. Now, that's stupid. That's stupid. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have a hard time believing, and I'm probably wrong, I have a hard time believing that anybody can believe that that's not a baby. They just don't want to go against the truth. And we'll go to all kinds of lengths to fight it. And people do that. We bristle at it. We don't want to hear it. We ignore it. We'll listen to something, whether it's in our Bible reading or in church, or someone tells us something, we know it's a truth, and it's kind of there, and as soon as we get away from it, we do everything we can to push it aside. We reject it, and some just run from it. That should not be the case for the Christian, the one who has received Christ and wants to completely follow him. A genuine believer should really want and desire to find out what God says, to find out what God wants him to do, and just simply follow it and do it. We have this thing recently in liberal Christianity. By the way, that's probably why we should stay away from it and all of its forms. Many years ago, and I saw the book, and it was really popular even amongst our type of people. You may have heard of it. A guy, his name is Josh Harris. He wrote a book called I Kiss Dating Goodbye. How many of you have heard of that? And it was a liberal, someone who's not us, who actually, I didn't read his book because I'm not, you know, it becomes nothing more than an advertising campaign. But he was advocating for courtship and not just casual dating in the whole nine yards. And he met some girl and he got married. Well, guess what? Fast forward 20 years. He divorces his wife. He comes out and apologizes to the homosexual, saying that I said some things that I didn't agree with you and I'm sorry. He recently was in a gay pride festival. And he's publicly renounced his Christianity. Okay? That's the type of Christianity that's the example for most churches today. By the way, that's why, and you can just go into it, you listen to this contemporary Christianity garbage, you might want to study that stuff a little bit. I'll just be real honest with you. You should actually just check out the singers. Don't even if their music was right. I'm just telling you. So many of these people that say, look, let me just say something to you. Somebody that can get up and renounce Christianity was never saved in the first place. How can you say that Jesus isn't real anymore? That's like saying, you know, I'm going to divorce my wife, but I'm not going to divorce her. She's not real anymore. You know, she's not true. That's delusional. But you know what the problem is? Because now in that type of situation, I don't think he's saved, but we try to backpedal on the truth because it's hard. Now, hopefully we don't do to that type of extent, but we'll do it in other ways. In this text here, This is Jesus' discourse on the bread of life. He's very truthful and pointed about himself and other truths. And he had this big crowd following him, and they didn't like what he was saying. You know, in those days, a lot of the crowds that followed Jesus, they heard about his miracles. They heard about the things he did for others, and a lot of them, you know, yes, I want to follow Jesus because he can do things for them, and then they would hear something. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I don't want to be that committed to it. I don't like that. And that's exactly what happens here. And so what happens here is, we saw the verse, many of them followed him and they didn't walk with him anymore. They said, we're out. I'm not going to follow Jesus. I'm not going with him. I'm done with him. Remember the verse I like Paul mentioned in Galatians. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? See, sometimes the truth separates. So they walk away. They're not going to follow him anymore. That's nothing new. That happens in the Bible all of the time. Think about that. It happened to Jesus. Those people left him. Judas bailed on him. It happened to Paul. Demas did it. It happened to Elisha, his servant, left him. And there's others in the Bible you can see. People just kind of bailed out. But I want to help us with that in our lesson tonight. Because if we're followers, we will follow even when we hear something that goes against our flesh. That's something that's hard to swallow. Something that, to be honest with you, our flesh is just going to wants us to rebel at. So I'm going to answer, I believe, three questions tonight. The first question is, why would someone leave Christ? Now, I'm going to give you some thoughts, but it always goes back to something he said, something he taught, something that the Bible is teaching. It always goes back to the truth. But why? The first reason there is some can't receive it. Verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? They're like, whoa. These truths you're teaching, this is difficult. This is rough. No one can take that. Who in the world is going to be able to listen to that? Now, there are some that just can't take it. By the way, it shouldn't be those who really love God. It shouldn't be those who really desire in their life. See, most of us, we desire to be a Christian and we want Jesus to be a part of our life as long as we're controlling things. That's not how it works. He's got to control things. And so we got to say, whatever he says, but some just can't receive it. By the way, never be surprised when someone walks away from God. It happens. I mean, it happened to Jesus a lot. Because Jesus just, you know, enough of this idea of Jesus was some skinny guy with long hair and a white dress that walked around saying cute things. That wasn't Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh, and Jesus told the truth. By the way, I don't understand somebody that doesn't want to hear the truth. I don't get that. I just don't. I was reading Mike Ray wrote, and he said there was this guy, and he was like this guy I think used to beat people up for a living, and his guy was rough and all this, and he got saved, and he came to his church, and I came in the office with his girlfriend he's living with, and like, preacher, I want to do right, what do I do? He goes, you guys can't live together anymore. And the guy looked at his girlfriend and said, you're out of the house tonight. What else, pastor? Now, he did go get her a place to stay, okay? But I kind of like that spirit. Like, I'm saved. What am I supposed to do? The Bible says you're supposed to do this. Let's go. Instead, we got to prod and we got to push and we got to, you know, make it look good and make it look fluffy, throw flowers on it, add syrup. Why can't we just, some just can't receive it. By the way, that could be discouraging when you're trying to help somebody, right? But don't get discouraged because there are some that do. Some, secondly, quit listening. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? In essence, they're saying, no one's going to listen to it. I'm not listening either. We get to the point, if we're not careful, we'll get to the point when we're fighting against the truth where we just don't want to hear it anymore. Sometimes as Christians, we struggle with the truth and we fight it, and there's little areas of our life and we start to compromise in those areas, even though we know it's wrong, but it's like, I want to do it anyhow. And so we're openly and willingly making those small rejections, and it's going to get more and more and more, and eventually it'll come to the point where it's just like, I just don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it. We seem to think that because we don't hear something anymore, that makes it okay, right? You know what happens? We listen to something and we don't do it, and so we become hard-hearted. Look at the verse there in Proverbs. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. In other words, they're hearing it and they get hardened to the truth and they're rejecting it, and it comes to a point God goes, you're going to be in trouble now. Because that same truth you're rejecting is the area where you're probably going to make a mistake, where you're probably going to get hurt. Some quit listening. Let's always be open. Next, some start complaining. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto him, does this offend you? I like he didn't sweep it under the rug. It's like, hey, what's going on here? What are we doing? You know what he did? He confronted their murmuring. I like that. When people start complaining, they start doing it in the background. By the way, and I'll just throw this in since it's my job to throw stuff in, right? You know, people murmur around our church sometimes in small ways. We know that's a good school, but they're not this or that or the other. Hey, why don't we quit listening to murmurers? Well, you know, that ministry is okay, but, you know, pray for them. Well, we don't murmur. And by the way, since I really am supposed to, I say things that I'm, that, you know, quit making your decisions based on what murmurers say. Yeah. And you could take any ministry. I'll just use the school because Brother Tim irritates me too. You know, I used to love the school, but somebody said something about the school and all of a sudden, Or used to like so-and-so or this or that in the church and somebody made a little comment and all of a sudden it's, Don't listen to that nonsense. And then you go make some decision. By the way, if, and I'll throw this out here, and I had coffee before church, and I just don't know what happened. But if you don't like something, that is fine. Do one of two things. Talk to somebody about it, or keep your sanctified mouth shut. Amen. Keep it to yourself. You don't have to like everything. You don't. I don't like everything. But I don't have to tell everybody about it, right? I mean, we think we're Jesus. Let me just tell you the truth. Well, wait a minute. You may not even know the truth. But sometimes we get caught up in that, right? Don't murmur. You know, someone who murmurs to you, say, you know, you should go talk to Brother Chim about that. You should go talk to, me about that. You don't like the music? Talk to Brother Grandy. He doesn't like it either. Okay? That's just how you... By the way, people will quit coming to you. Remember when we talked about criticism 4 years ago in Proverbs? We showed the verse in Proverbs where when someone criticizes somebody to you, it's because they don't respect you. Well, you know, if I ran RU, you don't. Now, if you have an idea, go talk to the man. All right. What does this have to do with a hard truth? I have no idea, but I feel better. I will get decaf. I got decaf. I'm going to get caffeinated coffee next time, and I will be so much better. But I'm just saying, let's not murmur. That's what they do. Here's the thing, too. You asked. I'll tell you. See, if you as a Christian maybe that's been around for a while murmurs about something in the church, and it's not as big a deal to you, but you know what I'm saying, but you kind of murmur about it, you know what happens to newer Christians? You blow them out of the water. You're hurting their faith. Oh, help me now. You're hurting their faith. See, look, I can complain about things in the church because there are things I see I don't like. Now I'll just go to the source and say, hey, fix that, please. But But, you know, if I complain to a guy that shows up his first time to church service, oh, that song was good. Yeah, but, you know, that singer was off. They're not supposed to. They know they're not supposed to come in at that time. Oh. Now, if they don't, oh, brother, nothing happened. But if they don't, I'll tell Nick, hey, that was great, Nick, but they need to come up when I, don't make me, you know, whatever. You're, that new Christian's like, I thought it was good, right? Let's not murmur, okay? I'll give you one more thought. Well, I won't give you that one. That's not good. Let me just throw one. Be careful when someone's who's at the church, and I don't know anybody that's done this, but I know reality, so I'll just throw it out there. There might be one. Whenever it says, well, you know, that church, it's like, time out. Don't you go here? Many years ago at the old Church of Pacific, we had a guy in the singles, and I think it was the singles, may have been my other class, and he wanted to complain about the church. He goes, you know, you Baptists, I said, stop. I said, that's what we are. If you don't like it, leave. No, I didn't mean that, Brother Steve. I'm just saying, you bet. Stop! You know the name of the church. You know who we are. Don't give me that. If you don't like whatever you're going to say, leave. Because obviously, you don't want to be a part of us. That didn't go over very well with him. All right, hey, here we go. Hey, maybe I just did this. Next one. Some get offended. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I think you understand what I'm trying to say. Some get offended. When Jesus knew that his disciples murmured, he went right to it and said, does this offend you? See, what happens is when we have a negative response to the truth and all that, and it's going and it's going and it's going, the next thing is, now it gets to the point where, hey, quit talking outside, please, out there in the patio. Okay, that's twice now. Don't talk anymore. You say, well, you're talking to me? Well, if you were talking, maybe I was. I don't know. I can't see through the wall, but God just prompted me to say that. Does this offend you? Now it's in their spirit. And we don't have it. You guys are good. But you'll get a visitor sometime and talk. Hey, Jesus is the only way to heaven. They'll look at you like, you know, Friend Day, I got a letter from someone that visited, and it was hot. I could have defrosted the freezer with it. How dare you say Jesus is the way to heaven? Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right, well, she doesn't get a cup. She ain't coming back. Just kidding. Just kidding. She told me what she thought. She was not happy about that. But I wasn't trying to offend. I'm just like, you know, I have to tell you, the Bible does say Jesus is the only way to heaven. I said it nicely, too. But we get offended at the truth. And we all do. You know, someone says something to us, blah, blah, blah. Oh, how dare your boss said something? You walk out, how can my boss say that? And then after you think about it for a while, it's like, you know, he's kind of right. But you know why we got it? We just didn't want to hear it. And I'm there with you. But see, we can't do that with the scripture, because sometimes we go too far and it causes us to stumble in our Christianity. That happens. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Some lack faith. Jesus said in verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning that they that believe not and who should betray him. Just some flat out didn't have faith, whether it was saving faith. I think that's what he's alluding to here, talking about Judas and others. But I think for us, some just don't have biblical faith. You know what biblical faith is? You know, I just really believe that what God says is best, therefore I don't have a hard time or a problem doing what God says. That takes faith. It takes faith to hear something from the Bible that goes against our nature and to say, now that goes against my nature, but, and I don't see how that's going to work, but God said it, and I'm going to just trust him, and I know that's going to be the right thing to do, and I'm just going to do it. That takes faith, okay? And so some just don't have that faith. Now, we talked about why someone would leave. Next, but why shouldn't we leave? After all these people leave, they all walk out, Jesus looks at his 12 and says, okay, are you guys going to bail? Are you going to leave also? Are you out of here? Now, they stayed, but it was that bad. Why we shouldn't leave? First of all, others are usually wrong. Look at verse 68. Peter, now Peter gets a lot of flack for being, you know, but Peter ought to get a lot of praise. If you're gonna make a lot of mistakes, that's usually because you also have a lot of successes, because you're trying a lot of stuff. So Peter just steps up. I got the answer. Lord, to whom shall we go? You know what he's saying? There's no one else to go to. I'm not going to listen to those people. I don't know where else to go. But I know I'm not going to listen to them. That's in essence what he's saying. Like, Lord, where are we going to go? Now, he's going to explain that to prove it, that he's the truth. But it's like, these people don't get it. Quit listening to other people. By the way, sometimes you see somebody that they're not serving the Lord anymore, and they used to, and they leave, and maybe you run into them. It's, how's everything? This is wonderful. This is great. And in your heart, you're saying, man, that seems to be working out for them. Well, that's one of two things. Number one, either they're lying, or number two, they're not saved. Because if you're a child of God, when we disobey him, you know what happens? He brings problems and discipline into our life to bring us back. And if he's not doing that, guess what? Maybe we're not his. Okay? You know, I've had people that, we've been here 31 years, they used to be in church and then they're gone, and they'll come back, and you can always tell the ones that are real, how's everything going? It's like, not good, man. I need to get back in church. It's like, bingo. They're saved. God's working on them. If they're his child, they're going to do that. Quit listening to the other. Well, so-and-so did this, and he said that, you know, this problem, but we should go this, and it seems like it's working out for them. That's not how you make a decision. What's right? What is right? The other's usually wrong. And by the way, I've always found that when someone tells you the story, you only get half the story. Okay, you ever know that? Remember, we started, for years, we worked with the singles, which was great. You know, they're just... I mean, you got to keep them out of the world and everything, but you just keep going at them. And then we started a couples class. So we started visiting for our new couples class, and my wife and I went out on a Tuesday. First time going out on Tuesday, we're visiting our prospects, you know, for couples class. We go to the first house. Only one of the spouses was home. Hey, how you doing? We're looking. And all they did was unload. Our marriage is horrible, and it's my blah, blah, blah. It's actually two ladies. My husband's fault, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, great. We went to the next house. Same thing. Husband wasn't there. Man, he's an idiot, blah, 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 and all that. Blah. And so my wife and I get out of there as fast as we can, and we get in the car, and I said, okay, time out, Alma. Let me explain how this is going to work. We only got one half of the story. I said, so we're going to be working with couples. You have to understand, that's half the story. We better get the other half, because I guarantee you, the way she explained it, he's a mass murderer. And I guarantee you, after we get done talking to him, we're going to think she's Lizzie Borden. Okay, and so let's get the, no one gives a whole side of the story. They always have to embellish things to make their angle look right. So let's quit listening to that negativity. Especially when it comes to serving Christ, okay? There's nothing better than serving God. Amen. Thank you for the two of you that are doing it. Next, God's word is still true. Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Not truth, although that's implied. You have the words that lead to life, eternal life. You've got what we need. You've got it. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how they say their life is going. I don't care about, I got over that a long time ago. All I want to know is what the Bible says, because I know the Bible is true. Well, so-and-so says this, good for them, and maybe it's working out for them, and if it is, when they get to heaven, if they're saved, it's not going to work out very good. But I know the Bible is still true, and I think I'll just stick with Scripture. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Well, this person said that, I don't care what he says. What does the Scripture say? The Bible is still true, and I'm going to stick with the Bible. Next, we still have faith. Verse 69, he says, and we believe. Do you know it's easy to have faith when you agree with everything? Right? Look, if you talk about somebody about something where there's like two possible areas of belief, the person that agrees with you, it's easy to buy into what they're saying. Amen, brother. Yeah, that's right. Someone that disagrees with you, wait a minute now. That's harder to take. Well, it's easy to believe the things in the Bible that, oh, that's easy to understand. That's easy to live. But what about the stuff that's hard to do? You know, like giving. Like, you know, I don't know, living a holy life, that type of thing. That's tough. But if we have faith, we're going to say, even though it's tough, I believe that God knows what's true and God knows what's right. I think I'll just stick with him. Let's have faith. Too many people live by their feelings. You know, I'm just not, you know, look, if I only live for God on the days I felt like it, it would not be good. There are days I don't feel like it. You know, people, you ever hear someone say, I'm not feeling it? So there's times I'm not feeling it. Okay, and we don't live by our feelings, right? We live by faith. Despite what they're seeing. It just seems like this isn't going very well, and it just seems like I'm trying to do the right thing, but it just seems like the more I do the right, you know, I wonder how Job felt. Lord, I prayed for my kids. I was doing all this, and every time I turn around, here comes another person, and I lost all my cattle, and here comes this guy, and I lost all my farmland or whatever. I lost all this, and then he lost all. He says one thing after another. Maybe something's wrong here. No, he had faith, a faith we'll never understand. So let's have faith. Next, Jesus is still worthy. Verse 69, and we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know why? Because he just believed and loved Jesus. That'll settle a lot of stuff right there, amen? Quit buying into the Jesus t-shirts. I'm not against it, okay? I know they have some of the t-shirts, Jesus, my lifeguard. That's wonderful. I hope you don't drown. That I don't mind any of that. But most Christians, that's as far as their faith goes. Their faith is nothing more than just a pithy little statement. I love the Savior. That's great, but do you really love him? You know, do you love him when he's telling you something that's a struggle in your life? He is still worthy. And he said, you know, I'm following your Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the one. And so we're all in on everything that you would say. Now, lastly, a couple of these and we are done. What should we do to ensure that we are always following? Okay, there's things we have to do. And some of these we've alluded to. First of all, don't let others decide. Don't let others decide. The question Jesus asked them when everybody else walked out, they were all, the disciples, they were all seeing this. Jesus, are you going too? Are you with them? Are you out of here? And basically they let you know, nope. Hey, the crowd's not coming. Are you coming? Are you leaving? No. Don't follow the crowd. The worst thing you can do in the world is follow the crowd. Do you know the majority is mostly wrong? It is. The majority of Christians are wrong, to be honest with you, and most of the time. We'll just vote, you know. All the Christians in America will vote. That would be a disaster. That'd be a disaster. We don't vote for what's right. You vote by yourself, okay, and you are the majority. But don't let someone else decide for you. Hey, you teenagers, you're way too peer-driven. I'm sorry. And can I just tell you something? That peer that you're allowing to drive your decision, 10 years from now, they won't even probably be around, or you won't be that close to them. And you're going to do something stupid just because you don't want to stand up? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said stupid. People don't like that. You're going to do something enormously ignorant just because someone else is? You get in trouble. It's like, well, the other kid in the school did it. Tell the other kid in the school to get lost. You have my permission. If someone in our school, and you're a teenager in our school, and some teenager this year is trying to say something or do something ignorant, you tell them, I was going to say drop dead. That's not nice. What can they say? Refrain from speaking. I beg to differ. Tell them, no. You know what? I think we should do this. Hey, I'll tell you what. Let me go ask Brother Chim what he thinks about that. That will cleanse that whole thing for you. I'm just not the type. I'm not letting someone else push me. I'm sorry. I'm not. And if I'm the only one, then I'll have a good time by myself. Don't trust the flesh. Verse 63. Jesus mentioned it to the crowd. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. What is that? Giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Jesus is saying, listen, the flesh is going to fight everything. Don't let the flesh fight it, because the only way you're quickened, you have life, is through the Spirit. And the words I'm telling you, that's what the Spirit uses, and they're the Spirit that's going to give you life. Okay? Don't trust your flesh. Yes, you're going to hear something or read something in the Bible that's like, uh-oh, that's good. That proves two things. You're not perfect, and you're listening to God. But don't let the flesh push that out. Okay? Do the right thing. Next, do the math yourself. Don't just go based on others. Figure it out for yourself. Jesus, Peter's looking at him and goes, I've already figured this out. They can all leave. The best course of action here is to follow Jesus. Hey, look at people that, the younger you are, you don't look to your peers for big life advice. What should, my friend, man, they're being cool. I just want that kind of, look to someone that's been serving Jesus older and see how it's going for them. Okay, do the math. Listen, I had a lot of friends I grew up with. And the ones that I know about, they were all pretty messed up. The only ones that weren't are Pastor Esposito, because he got saved. And Robert, I'm not quite sure about yet, but I think he's almost there. Our friends aren't doing well, Brother Robert, unless they got saved. They're not. Several years ago, we were soul winning. One of our close neighbors, and that was part of our group with Pastor Esposito, and we hung out for years. And it's like our age, and it's just like a teenager still. And yeah, this woman to that woman, and my kids are all over the place. And it's like, brother, someone didn't grow up. Someone didn't get saved. Someone didn't trust the Lord. Someone didn't follow God. And by the way, I can tell you that with people I went to Bible college with. Bible college. And it's like, their life is a train wreck. Why? They decided to do something different. I've done the math. Sticking with Jesus is kind of the best formula. And then lastly, don't just be saved. Don't just settle for salvation. Man, there's so much more. Honestly. We just don't like, I always say that wrapped up in the package of salvation is a lot of good stuff for your life. You know what we like? We just don't like the process. There's all these ingredients in there that God says, man, this is good stuff. Put it together. Don't settle for just being saved. Let's pray.